That's the sound of me prepping the grill with Reynolds Wrap. And the sound of me not doing dishes. And the sound of me spending more time outside with my family.
Easy prep, cook, and clean. Make time with Reynolds Wrap.
I like the sound of that.
Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All right, we're back. Now, back. In fact, 2019, Sky News did some exposing of the Biden crime family. We did, too. Back in 2019, we were telling you back then that the whole family is a crime family, okay? Well, we've got a clip we want to play, and Lord's willing, we'll be able to do this. That they won't be able to stop it, so let's give it a try.
Garrett Ziegler, founder of the nonprofit Marco Polo and a former aide to Donald Trump, thanks so much for your time. Donald Trump's a former lawyer, Rudy Giuliani. He gave you the copy of Hunter Biden's infamous laptop in 2020. When you first went through this, what was your reaction?
Well, it's unprecedented in American history in that we have this much primary source material from a sitting American president. Usually it takes decades for a presidential library's archives to be opened, sometimes even after the man dies. And so for us to have this much primary source material and unfiltered, this laptop is full of photos, videos, voicemails, calendar entries. So you really get a view of what they actually are like, not the patina that they project to the public.
So in the New York Post first broke the story on October 14th in 2020, because they were also given the laptop by Giuliani. And this was just 3 weeks before the presidential election. But remember, it was passed off as Russian disinformation. What was your reaction to that and the fact that down the track, once Joe Biden was actually elected, this content was verified?
Well, I didn't get the copy until after the election. And it just shows that there was a bipartisan operation to protect Joe Biden. Most people don't realize, and we go into this in our dossier, 644-page report on the Biden laptop, that there were more Republican signatories on that letter than Democrats, and that is hardly ever talked about. So this was really a bipartisan operation, a cover-up operation to throw cold water on what are totally authentic photos, emails, and text messages.
So you've released over 130,000 emails, which we covered last year. You've released documents.
Yes.
You're about to release Hunter's photos from the laptop. What actually incriminating things did you find on there?
Well, apart from just solicitation and prostitution, there are dozens of drug deals. And remember that it's not just that Hunter Biden is a degenerate and drug user. His own father was the man in the U.S. Senate for over a decade pushing for stronger penalties for crack cocaine users. So the very narcotic that his father penalized and instituted mandatory minimums for was the exact narcotic that his son indulged in. And so it's the height of irony. And so the site you alluded to, BidenLaptopMedia.com, it goes live on June 1st, U.S. time, and it's going to be all the photos from the device minus genitalia. We are redacting that. But like you said, BidenLaptopEmails.com has been online for a year, and we've always wanted to put all the photos up, and we think this is the responsible way to do it. We're redacting genitalia. We're redacting Social Security numbers and other credit card numbers so that the public can't, you know, commit identity theft, but they get a true picture of this is all about transparency. The American people can decide for themselves what they think about the American First Family.
So the FBI does have in their possession the actual original laptop. You've got a copy. The New York Post has a copy. Giuliani has a copy. And this is all because the actual owner of the repair shop made the copy. But the physical laptop is in the hands with the FBI. So why hasn't anything been done if there's evidence of, you know, criminal things happening on there?
Behavior. You're right. We just have a copy. And the shop owner, John Paul McIsaac, smartly realized that if the FBI didn't do anything, that the public had a right to know what was on this device. And so he did the right thing. I want everybody to know that the shop owner didn't copy this data without Hunter's consent. Hunter abandoned the whole device and didn't come back for it. And so the shop owner, after 90 days, that device legally became his. He contacted the FBI. The FBI took it via a grand jury subpoena, for which we have the document number, and that's in the dossier, as I alluded to earlier. And all we're doing is revealing what the FBI has had in their possession since December 9th, 2019. That is the date of the subpoena. Now, so your direct question was, why hasn't anything been done? I think that the contents of this device implicate people of both parties. So this isn't just a you know, a right-wing operation. There are Republicans in the emails, Republicans in the correspondence. It's really the Uniparty that is implicated by this. And so, ergo, the intel agencies are the epicenter of the U.S. Uniparty. And so they are like a Pavlovian dog responding to these to this content as a cover-up, and they don't want to even touch it with a 10-foot pole. It's a tragedy. I recognize that it's embarrassing for me as an American to have to say this to an international audience, and my own law enforcement agencies are this corrupt and captured. But the most I can do is lay it out, correctly and without any alteration. Not one of those emails, as you alluded to earlier, has been proven to be fabricated or messed with. We're putting it in the exact format that we received it as a copy from the shop owner.
So you have done that. You've categorized everything you found on the laptop into—you've put them under crimes, business-related, sex-related, drug-related. Can you walk me through some of these sex-related crimes that you speak of, probably more so than others? I've been through it, and I've seen, you know, it says something about Hunter using pimps.
Yes, absolutely. Very good question. The vast majority of my 2022 was spent in my home office, or a very small nonprofit, going through the literal U.S. code. So it's not enough, in my opinion, to say that, you know, Hunter Biden is a degenerate and a criminal. There's a lot of allegations being thrown about Hunter without any particularity. So, for example, moving people across state lines for the purposes of prostitution, that is a human trafficking violation. And we put the statute, we put who he did it to, so we have the women's contact information, and then we put the airline tickets and Amtrak tickets in the dossier so they see that Hunter Biden made this purchase, moved this person across state lines for the purposes of prostitution. So along with human trafficking, there are solicitation offenses at the state level. So every, you know, in no state is prostitution legal in the United States. Brothels are legal in Nevada, but Hunter did not frequent those. He actually used a website called ubergfe.com, and I have spoken with U.S. congresspeople and senators and their staff about basically taking this website offline. There is a woman named Ekaterina Mareva who ships women across the globe to service high-end clients, and it's literal human trafficking. Hunter spent at that site alone, Maddie, at least $25,000. So we know the people involved. So prostitution, human trafficking, there's drug-related offenses, which we cite the actual state code, so we get in the weeds, and people can make up their own minds about what they think about this behavior.
Yeah, I want to get into the business-related crimes. If you're the average person watching this, and you're the average American wanting to know, how does this affect the president? How do these crimes affect what the president is doing, and was he involved? Can you give a general overview to me of how Joe Biden was involved in Hunter Biden's business deals?
It's a very good question, and I think the most important question. Number one, we have correspondence from Hunter with his other business partners, i.e. Tony Bobulinski, James Gillier, Rob Walker, telling them directly that Joe is, quote, his chairman, and Hunter will not go forward with certain business deals unless he gets sign-off from his chairman. So what does this mean? Those deals are not, say, you know, bringing high-tech Japanese technology to the U.S. No, 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 no. Those deals are consulting contracts with foreign oligarchs, and in particular, those foreign oligarchs are usually in a legally fraught environment where they're wanting a prosecutor in their own country to stand down. For example, let's get very specific. In two countries, Ukraine and Romania, Hunter was hired, along with Rob Walker and other people, his business partner, to lobby U.S. officials to get them to go after their own prosecutors. In the case of Ukraine, it was Mykola Zlochevsky and Victor Shokin. And in the case of Romania, it was Gabriel Popoviciu and Laura Kövesi. All of this is laid out in our report, as I mentioned. And Hunter's job is very simple. He was to take that foreign oligarchs' interest and position, tell U.S. government officials that position, i.e. Joe and other ambassadors like Hans Klim and Jeffrey Pyatt and other people, what those oligarchs wanted from them, and then they were to then go to the foreign government and try to strong-arm them. So it's basically Hunter was an unregistered international lobbyist who used his father's position in the U.S. government to then tell the oligarchs, hey, I can get your case in front of high-level Americans. And these consulting contracts, Matty, range from like $165,000 a month to at the most like $250,000 per month. And all the work that Hunter did was just passing along a message. It was literally just lobbying, and he was not registered to do that work. And so how does this affect our national security? In each, almost every single country that Joe Biden, while vice president, was our point person in, Hunter had business contracts in those countries, and he was basically for sale. Meaning, if you're a foreign oligarch and you're in a pinch legally, hey, I'm Hunter Biden, I can take your case to U.S. ambassadors and my daddy, who's the VP, and we can make your case to your own government. And what can the U.S. Provide in this scenario? Well, they can provide either a carrot or a stick. If you don't do what we want you to do, foreign aid is revoked. If there were legitimate links between Donald Trump's campaign and the Russians, I would investigate them until my heart's content. There just wasn't anything there. And guess what? They had hundreds of subpoenas to do this. My nonprofit, Marco Polo, obviously didn't have the luxury of subpoenas. All we had was a copy of this device, which is a lot. But I'm saying that if we had the luxury of issuing subpoenas, we could get a lot more info.
Now, a lot of the text messages that I have read expose that multiple family members, including Joe Biden, in 2018 were trying to get Hunter Biden to go to rehab. Not long after he did buy this gun, may I just say, was Hunter engaging in any foreign business deals at this time?
Absolutely. Until April of 2019, Hunter served on Burisma's board as an unregistered foreign agent.
I want to go into the alleged crime that Hunter Biden is currently being investigated out of Delaware. It's just one of the crimes that he is being looked at for since 2018. So on October 12th, 2018, Hunter Biden buys a gun and he ticks that box that said he's not a drug user. He's even written in his memoir that he was doing drugs at that time. If he's found guilty of this, he's punishable for up to 10 years in jail. Now, what evidence do you have from this time in his life that proves that he probably was on drugs and has committed this crime?
It's a very good question. We have within the week pictures of him smoking crack cocaine and with a meth pipe in his mouth. Most people don't realize that Hunter's own sister, Ashley, accused him and Hallie Biden, his brother's widow, of not only ingesting crack cocaine, but smoking meth. And so we have a picture on October 3rd, 2020, of a meth pipe in Hunter Biden's mouth only, you know, a week and change from the time he bought the gun.
So you don't think, because, yes, for anyone watching, that he's obviously under investigation for potential tax crimes, money laundering, and then making this false statement in relation to a gun purchase. It's been going on for 5 years, and there is no prosecution, there's no charges being laid out yet. Even though it's been going on for 2018, and then there was speculation that agents had reached a decision about whether to charge the president's son, but nothing has happened. But if you have actual evidence that he was on drugs at that time, buying a gun, I don't know how it's been taking so long. So you just don't think the DOJ will prosecute him?
No, I think he's too protected. And the second this report came out in October of 2022, we sent a bullet point summary to the U.S. attorney in Delaware. I know that it's a very sobering thought. We can have the son of the U.S. president on video smoking crack cocaine and nothing happens to him.
Yes, very interesting. I guess we'll see what happens there. We obviously saw Hunter's lawyers meeting up with DOJ officials. So who knows if a plea deal is being made there. I want to go through influence peddling. Do you have any examples found on the laptop of that? Because we know that the Republicans have vowed to crack down on the Biden family if there are examples of influence peddling found.
It's a very good question. I don't like when Republicans in the Congress use that term because it's very imprecise and there's no statute prohibiting that. They should use words like FARA and lobbying. So we have multiple scenarios of Hunter breaking lobbying laws, advocating on behalf of somebody and not registering that advocacy, representing foreign principles. But there are scenarios, and we talked about these in the dossier, where it doesn't reach the level of statute violation. For just one example, Joe Biden wrote a recommendation letter to Brown University for the son of Hunter's Chinese business partner, not just recommendation letters, but, introductions being made, tours of the White House being given out. One time there's a there's a tour of the White House by a group of Chinese entrepreneurs, and Hunter sets it all up. We have the emails. And so these are things that normal foreign oligarchs have to hire a lobbyist for. And believe me, those invoices are not chump change. It's like 25 grand just to have a lobbyist set up a meeting for you. And Hunter's doing it willy-nilly without being registered. That's a clear example of influence peddling.
Okay, so tomorrow you are releasing this treasure trove of photos after a year of going through them. What do they show?
They show not only illegal activity concerning drugs and prostitutes, they show 11 years of the American First Family's personal life. Everything from controversies about Joe. There's nude photos of multiple Biden family members. Normal people don't have those photos. A normal American family wouldn't have naked pictures strewn about on just one device. It's insane stuff. Like I said at the top of the interview, we're redacting the genitalia. Everything from graduations, internal fights, a lot of screenshots, a lot of family arguing about Hunter and Hallie getting clean. Because one thing that I know you and I talked about briefly is that Hallie Biden, his brother's widow, she was on crack cocaine for years. So, people can draw their own conclusions, but they're going to get, if they want transparency, they're going to get it. They're going to see how this family lives.
I want to get into what you just said before about Hallie Biden, because to the average person, it would be kind of weird that his deceased brother, he's now dating or sleeping with his deceased brother's widower. And I've seen the photos engaging in sex acts and sending naked photos to each other. But is any kind of chat between the family, touching on what you were saying before, of it being a bit of a weird, like, what was the response from the actual family members?
Well, there's a really sad interaction that occurred in March of 2017 when the New York Post broke this story. And Hunter basically strong-armed Joe to support the relationship. The U.S. president supported an affair between his son and his son's widow. You can't make it up. And Hunter was very happy that Joe offered his support for their affair because, quote, his daughters wouldn't have accepted it and talked to him otherwise. So this is what kind of influence Joe Biden has had. His own granddaughters knew in their bones that this was immoral and disgusting. And yet Joe supported it and gave a quote of support to not only New York Post, but Vanity Fair. And so you're right. This is in most Western and even the world over despicable behavior where he doesn't even wait until his wife divorces him. We have photographic proof that they were engaging in an affair while Hunter was still married to Kathleen, the mother of his three daughters.
Yeah. Obviously, the photos are quite explicit, and Hunter is obviously quite a damaged man. But why should Americans care about this? Regardless of the fact that he is the president's son, why should Americans look at this laptop and think this is dodgy and affects their life when he is still a private citizen?
It's a very good question. If Hunter were merely a degenerate and didn't have anything to do with international business, I would not have dedicated 18 months of my life to this. And if Hunter were just the son of a U.S. senator, let's assume that Joey never made it to the vice presidency in the Oval Office, I wouldn't have dedicated this much time. But it's while they're going through the photos, I want people to understand that this person was cutting international business deals in the millions of dollars. So, for example, many U.S. presidents have had degenerate family members. Amy Carter, the daughter of Jimmy Carter, who Joe is sort of taking after and emulating, his daughter got kicked out of Brown University for smoking dope. Okay, so this isn't a new story to have degenerate progeny of the U.S. president. What is unprecedented is the fact that Hunter played the role of international businessman while being degenerate. And not just international businessman, Maddie, he wasn't in business with the Japanese or the Australians or the English. He was going to Ukraine, Romania, Libya, China, Kazakhstan, Mexico. That's where he was going. So they should care about it because he was committing federal felonies with foreign oligarchs. And on top of that, he was a complete degenerate. That is absolutely provable from the material.
How do you verify the contents of the laptop, the photos, the emails, the text messages, the WhatsApp messages, everything? How do you verify this so that you don't have another example of Russian disinformation being thrown around, so that people can start taking this seriously before a federal election?
Well, it's a very good question. Number one, that's why we put the emails out first. On BidenLaptopEmails.com, not only can viewers or can users type in a search term and get all of the results from that term. So let's say they want to type in Ukraine or cocaine or Joe Biden. They're going to get all the results from those keywords, but they can actually download the email files themselves and go through the metadata. Anybody on planet Earth with an internet connection, even if you're in Australia, Queenstown, New Zealand, you can go to BidenLaptopEmails.com, download 800 megabytes, i.e. 128,000 emails, and you can go through the metadata yourself. And you can see that this DNS name server is responsible for this mailbox, and it goes to this email. They can verify it themselves. The photos, videos, calendar entries, it's a very good question. Within these photos, there is EXIF data, latitude, longitude, date that the photo was digitized. And so what we do is we look at the EXIF data within the photo, then look at his calendar entries and other email data to prove that he was in the location at that time that the photo was taken. So we do cross-referencing between different types of data within the device. It's called splicing. It's very common in digital forensics.
Yeah. Just finally, Garrett, Biden's obviously announced that he is running in the 2024 presidential election. What do you think this laptop and this interview and anything, any other media you do going forward, what do you think this will say about the man running to lead the country again?
Unlike political consultants or other people paid by Donald Trump's campaign, we can't be political. We are only telling people to look at the data themselves and make up their own mind. I can't tell people what to think. I can only show them the photos and the emails and the videos and the calendar entries. And they can make up their own informed opinion. If this is, let's put it this way. If the guy who sits in the Oval runs his family like this, and this is not my opinion, they view him as their patriarch. If he is the patriarch of this family that behaves in this way, do we really want him to be the patriarch of the United States? I mean, he can't run his household. That's a question, not an answer.
Garrett.
Okay, folks, not a word. First of all, I think what we're going to do, we're going to open the phone lines to take calls. So the phone lines are now open at 888-677-9673. Okay. Do you want to say that, Randy? I know you
888-677-9673.
Nationwide, they're open. Okay, so we'll take calls now. Not a word by any major mainstream media on the greatest political scandal in U.S. history, okay? Folks, you're not going to hear anything about this on NBC, ABC, CBS. The Biden family multi-million dollar crime spree. So the Gateway Pundit readers will be pleased to know that once again, we were months ahead of the mainstream media in bringing you facts on the greatest political scandal in U.S. history. We told you about this years ago.
Obama was in the White House.
Yeah, we were telling you back then. So here, as the Gateway Pundit reported on Tuesday, there are several eyewitnesses with over a dozen audio recordings and numerous bank receipts that detail the Biden crime family illegal bribery payments. And on Saturday, March, America's Mayor Rudy Giuliani told Reedy Crosby on Newsmax that he has a high-level witness who is the former chief accountant in Burisma who is willing to testify on the Biden crimes. She has the Biden bank account transaction. She has the receipts. Boy, they better put her in a safe place, I tell you that. Rudy Giuliani was extraordinary. I gave him one witness that any investigator would jump through hoops to go to. Give them a witness who is a woman who was the chief accountant at this crooked company, Burisma. She was the wife of the former owner who died under suspicious circumstances, yeah. And she was willing to give up all the offshore bank accounts, including the Biden's accounts. She supervised the transfer of a lot more cash to the Biden's and other crooked politicians for Burisma. All right, let's go. We'll take some calls. Can you imagine this? It's Cliff. Who would have thought? Hey, Cliff.
What's up? Alexa, pause. Yeah, thanks. Okay, guys. Yeah, one thing in terms of supplements, I just got word of this. The pine bark supplement that's usually from Spain is, they say this does repair joint injuries. So that's something to look in.
Oh, yeah. I saw Randy out there biting the tree just the other day. He
was... yeah.
And Al Gore would have cried. Al Gore would have cried.
Yeah. So that's pine bark. You can get that, you know, on the web or Amazon or something like that. So that I didn't realize. So that's good to know. Because a lot of people have problems with even the joints of their fingers from typing and so forth. One thing I wanted to ask you about is two contrasting psalms. The end of Psalm 37, it says the transgressors would be destroyed together. And that's 37. And 47, it's talking about princes being together and shields. Now, another translation talks about them as like almost angels. But this idea of princes being together and the transgressors being destroyed together, what do you see with that? That usually,
well, I think it means exactly what it says there. You take a look at where it says here in 47. Well, first of all, let me go to 37 and start there. He says, I have, verse 35, I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Boy, do we see that today, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Oh, boy. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. Well, I wish I could set Joe Biden down, look him in the eye, and read this to him, you know, and cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is the strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Now, if you go over to 47, it's a short psalm, and you can read the whole thing. Clap your hands, O you people, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord is most high, he is terrible, he is great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under his feet. He shall choose our inheritance for us, that excellency of Jacob whom he loved, Selah. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with a shout of the trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises unto our King, sing praises now. For God is the King of all the earth, sing ye the praises with understanding. God reigneth over the heathen, God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong unto God, he is greatly exalted. So what is he doing? He's telling you, you shouldn't have such anxiety, even when things look the way they do. We look and we see such wicked people, you know, such in-your-face corruption. When you see Merrick Garland saying, we're only going to prosecute Republicans, we're not going to prosecute. When you see these mayors, like this mayor there in Chicago, saying, you know, it's open season, go ahead. When you see these very corrupt prosecutors like Jack Smith, saying we're gonna prosecute the righteous, not the wicked, okay? And people say everywhere you turn, isn't there any justice at all anymore? Isn't there any? Well, what the King David is telling you here, yeah, there. Don't worry. In the end, you're gonna prevail. In the end, the righteous will prevail. God's on the throne. He's in charge. He sees everything, and he's in complete control of this. And he will do what he's always done. And so we should, what, not be distraught, huh? We'll be back right after this.
late to save you. Will foreign troops invade your soil? Will government enslave you? Will the greatness that was once your crown be trampled in the streets? Oh, America, don't let your name go down in such defeat. America, America, the tide is rising fast. Don't you think it's time now to remember your great past? America, America, now the tide can still be turned. Just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. America, America, once God's word was your standard. How gradually you've compromised, how far you finally wandered. For the years of silent apathy, to God we now repent. For the years of work we might have done, that's already now been spent. America, America, the tide is rising fast. Don't you think it's time now to remember your great past? America, America, now the tide can still be turned. Just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. America, this land needs Jesus now. If he's confined within the church, its walls will crumble down. We must awake, we must arise for his kingdom to secure. We know the battle has been won. Yes, the victory is sure. America, America, the tide is rising fast. Now don't you think it's time now to remember your great past? America, America, now the tide can still be turned. Just open up your eyes and see the lesson. Just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. Just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. You better just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. You better just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned.
All right, God's eyes are wide open, folks. Wide open. He sees what's going on. And I can tell you this. God has brought the worst, absolutely the worst judgment on nations for killing their children. And that's what America does. America kills many of its children. And now they mutilate them, too. And so we're fighting back. God's watching. He's saying, are you going to fight back? We're going to fight back. Okay, now, a pro-life campaign to kick off training, voter ID here in Ohio, and this has happened across the country, too. And it comes, folks. Listen, June 20th, from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Rookery for Northeast Ohio here, the Rookery at 10110. That's the Rookery at 10110 Cedar Road, in Newberry, Ohio. Now, there's a dinner included, but you have to register by going to www.leadershipinstitute, one word, leadershipinstitute.org/Newberry. That's right. You got to go to www.leadershipinstitute.org/Newberry. And pro-life advocates are facing two important elections this year. The special election on August 8th, folks. Vote yes, vote yes, vote yes on issue one on August 8th. And the general election November 7th. Now, we have to fight against the forces of darkness, the forces of death. These are the wicked people out there with their little clipboards that are getting signatures, and they are so deceptive. Oh, darn, they're so deceptive. Now, I've run into a few of them, and they weren't having a good day because I told them what God's Word, the Bible, had to say about what they were doing. And that's what you need to do.
I see them every time I go to the library or to the mall near my home there. And it's really kind of sad.
You got to confront them, don't you?
Yeah.
You got to tell them, look, what you're doing is wrong, so you better repent or perish, huh?
Right. Yeah. But the question that really knocks the bottom out of what they're talking about is, all you got to ask them is, they always say, would you like to sign a petition for women's reproductive rights? And my question to them always is this: what reproductive rights don't women have in the state of Ohio? And none of them can answer on any
Their definition of reproductive rights is killing innocent babies.
Well, exactly, but they're not going to say that, and so they can't mention anything that, like I said, you can abort a baby. Nobody's stopping them from having sex or anything else. So what reproductive – nobody's making them have a baby either. Uh-huh. So what reproductive rights are we trying to – protect them? And they can't answer that question. Well, and I've even seen people with the clipboards, they don't realize that they can't answer that question until it's
Let's go out San Diego and see what Jack has to say about all that. Hey, Jack, you're in the air. Hey, Jack. Hey, Jack.
Is he there?
Hi, Jack. Are you there? Jack? Gee, you fell asleep, didn't you, Jack? Yep, Jack's gone. I'll tell you who's awake, and that is Pastor Hal. Pastor Hal's awake. Are you there, Pastor Hal?
Yes, I am.
All righty, very good. So what do you think about all that, and these petitions and that?
I think those women and abortionists, they're going to face God's wrath in a way that it's going to make them want to crawl under a rock and everything, and they won't be able to get away from it. God's vengeance is on the way, and nothing they gain, no money, power, or pleasure, or anything else like that, is going to be worth 1 minute in hell or standing before an angry God. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God, and that this whole woke thing and Democrat, Democrat Party and everything, they're headed for that.
Will they have any excuse at all? Have they not been warned and warned and warned and warned?
Oh, they sure have, just like ancient Israel when Jeremiah and Ezekiel and the Old Testament prophets warned them if they didn't repent, God's going to wipe them out. And they got mad at the prophets and said it was the prophets' fault that everything was going wrong and threw them in prison and persecuted them like they're going to be doing to Christians soon. When Nebuchadnezzar came, he wiped them out and put them in Babylon for 70 years. And, you know, America is just like shaking their fist in God's face right now. And it's like they're daring God to bring down his vengeance on them. And when it comes, it's going to be unbelievable.
So you don't think God is buying this trans stuff, huh?
Not at all. God is allowing them to fill their cup with his wrath. And when that cup gets full and the timing is right, it's coming.
Do you know what transtifa is? What they're calling transtifa now? That's these women that are wanting to become men. And so they're taking a testosterone treatments in this, and they're becoming criminally insane. They're becoming criminally insane. They can't handle what is happening to them. And that's what happened to that, here's a good example of what I'm talking about here. Trantifa, an investigator and Republican lawmaker, warned of new violent extremists. On March 27th, Nine innocent people, including six children, were shot and killed in their Christian elementary school in Nashville, Tennessee, by a violent young woman pretending to be a man. Well, she was taking the testosterone. 100% fed up reports to date, the shooter's manifesto had been released, and the key to the reason for the mass murder of nine innocent people may never be known to the public, as it may cause the public to look at transgenderism as mental illness instead of a perfectly normal mainstream behavior. No, let me tell you what it is. It's criminal insanity is what it is.
Only last week, criminal insanity is one of the requirements to being a Marxist Democrat nowadays, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, yes. It is. Only last week we reported about another trans pretending to be a woman who violently stabbed his own father to death, while the media completely ignored the fact that those who report such tragic murder refuses to identify the accused killers as trans things. So there you go. Here's another one. Prominent trans activist, former teacher sentenced to life in prison for murder. The most depraved crime I've ever handled. Alameda County Sheriff's Department. In a horrifying and disturbing case, a former teacher and prominent transgender activist, Dana Rivers, she's the one that wanted to be a man, has been sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole for the brutal murder of a lesbian couple and their son. The judge labeled it as the most depraved crime he'd ever encountered in his 33 years in the criminal justice system. So there you go. That's what's happening out there. And that's the world we're living in today, huh?
Yeah, it makes me glad the Lord's coming back soon to get us out of this cesspool.
Yep. But, you know, you're not going to hear this on NBC, ABC, or CBS, will you?
Nope. They're lying.
Let me ask you this. And anyone out there, because the phone lines are open to call, can you tell me a mention of one actual journalist at NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, or NPR anymore? Or is there one actual journalist? I can't. You can't find one anymore, okay?
No.
Sally Stahl said that her job was to teach us to tell us what to think and why we think it, huh?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I disagree with Sally. I mean, that now, see, they're changing them. They're not journalists. They're narrativists. That's what they are. They're now narratives or narrativists. Narrativists, that's what they're referring to.
I mean, but what's amazing to me is that I think the statistic for people who've had the surgery and done all that stuff in transgender, it's like 0.3% of the population, and we're having all of this controversy over that. That's like saying that we need to have some kind of rule of protection for people that are over 7 feet tall. I mean, because that's about, there's probably more of them than there is of transgender people.
Well, what they're trying to do is they're trying to create more transgender
I understand that, but I'm just saying in actual numbers, it's infinitesimal.
Well, it's child abuse because they're going after the young people.
Sure. One out of three of them are going to commit suicide within 5 years of when they make the transition because they'll realize they can't go back and it didn't work.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Well, that's one of the things they promise them, that you can undo it.
Yeah, liars. And that's a lie. An out-and-out lie.
Yep.
It's like
you. And you know what? These people that do that, everyone that performs that mutilation on these children need to be in prison.
Yes.
Exactly. They need to go to prison for life for doing what they're doing.
Yeah. And in Ohio, the good part about Bill 68 is that they want to stop people from even helping or administering the drug. And that's another reason not to sign that clipboard.
Absolutely. Yes. Folks, that clipboard's from hell, and so are the people that are out there pushing it. But remember, you got to remember, vote yes August 8th on number one. Vote on issue one. Vote yes. Vote yes. Tell everybody you know to vote yes on issue one November 8th. We got to get that done.
That's very important.
I think we got about 8 minutes, don't we, there for hell? All right, Al, you got about 8 minutes to to give an invitation. This may be the most amount of time you've ever had. Okay, basically, you can preach an entire sermon almost tonight here.
Yeah, I'll say that's a long time. Well, let me just start out by saying, you know, the Bible says to be holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. And we're supposed to show a difference between us as Christians and the unsaved, ungodly world. And the worst thing a Christian can do is just keep their mouth shut and let Satan's crowd just run roughshod and rob and kill and steal and destroy everything that God holds precious and everything. And, it's going to get so bad, it's actually insufferable right now and going to get worse. But, you know, we got to get out of it. We're going to get out of here. The born-again Christians, they're looking for the Lord to come back and say, come up hither, and we're out of here. Revelation 4:2 is the rapture of the church. Revelation 6 is where the Antichrist shows up, and the tribulation period takes place until Revelation 19, when the church comes back with Jesus, wipes out the Antichrist when they're attacking Jerusalem at the end of the tribulation period, and then sets up God's kingdom. But what I'm saying is that you want to go to heaven. You could die tonight, and you'd rather go to heaven than go to hell, if you have any sense at all. So the Bible says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, talking about the blood Jesus Christ shed for us on Calvary. When Jesus died on that cross, God was allowing him to pay the payment in full for every sin you and I have ever done. Salvation is a free gift. Jesus did all the work necessary for our redemption. And whether you go to heaven or hell now depends on what you do with that free payment. That you can't work your way there. You could be a member of every church in town and die and go to hell with all your membership cards. You could get baptized so often that, like I said this before, every tadpole and fish in the creek knows your Social Security number and still die and go to hell. Because salvation is not through the city water system, it's not through your good works, but it's through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Christ was all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And so when Jesus died on that cross, it was the very blood of God himself that was being shed on that cross to wash away our sins. And so John 1:12 said, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Just knowing what Jesus did for you on that cross isn't going to save your soul, because even the devil knows what Jesus did for you on that cross. What Jesus wants you to do is reach out and receive that payment. And you do it by, like Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus also said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Let me make this perfectly clear, okay? The Pope ain't going to get you to heaven. You can have a million priests giving you some kind of absolution, hocus pocus, when you're laying there on your deathbed, and that's not going to wash away one sin. Your good works and church membership isn't going to do it. Listen, it's when you come to God and say, God, you know I'm a dirty, rotten, lousy, stinking sinner on my road to hell, and I hear and now ask you to come into my heart and save me. That's what saves you. Luke 13:3 says, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Repentance is admitting that you're a sinner and that you need Jesus Christ, being sorry about the fact you're a sinner. You want Jesus to come into your heart and save you. He wants to save you. Jesus don't want you to go to hell, but he's leaving it up to you. It's your choice. That's why he said in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, or in other words, hear my word, which you're doing right now, and open that door, I will come into him. And you open up that door by prayer and asking him to come into your heart, Romans 10:13. So if you want to receive the payment Jesus paid for you on that cross, you can do it right now, because God hears me talking to you right now, and God knows what's going through your mind and through your heart right now, and God will make a record of what you do with Jesus Christ right now. So we can say a simple prayer together. I'd be glad to lead you a few words at a time. But even though we're praying together, it'd be directly between you and God. Because only you can open up the door of your heart and let Jesus come in. So if you want to do that, let's do it. Don't let nobody or anything ever keep you from doing that. Let's pray. Oh, dear God, I confess unto you that I've sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. And I know there's a penalty for sin, and it's dying lost without Jesus and going to hell. And I don't want that to happen to me. Lord, I hear it now. Confess my sins to you. Ask you to forgive me of my sins, and I ask Jesus to come into my heart and give to me the payment he paid in my place in full on that cross. And God, I just thank you for the payment Jesus paid for me. I thank you for eternal life. And Lord Jesus, again, right here and now, Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart and save my soul and give me eternal life, because that's why you died on that cross, to give me eternal life and give us a home in heaven to be with you forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, folks, if you just prayed that prayer and meant it, 1 John 5:13 says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. Believe on meant received as your Savior. It doesn't say believe about. It says believe on. And then how do you know it? Because God made you a promise, and God cannot lie. And if you by faith reach out and receive Jesus Christ into your heart and the payment he paid for you on that cross, that you have eternal life. That's God's promise to you. That's why I know if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. And if I didn't go to heaven, that God would have to be a liar, and God's not a liar. So I know I'm going to heaven if I died right now or died 50 years from now. It don't matter when, because Jesus has given me eternal life. He's made me a new creature in Christ. He's washed away my sins. He's given me a mansion in heaven that I can go to when I pass away from here. I mean, it's so much waiting for me on the other side that I can't wait to leave this whole stinking world and go to be with Jesus. So I just pray the rapture to even happen tonight in Jesus' name. Go ahead, Pastor.
All right. Now, that would be a wonderful thing, too. But folks out there, the reality is we're all going to die. And the reality is it's pointing to all men once to die and then judgment. And when that happens, we're going to end up in heaven or hell. I mean, that's the reality. A lot of people say, well, I don't believe. Well, see, if by you not believing, it doesn't change it one bit. See, this is what God has said. And all you got to do is take a look around you, and you see all of creation. God spoke that into existence. You say, well, how do I know that? Well, because God has said so. There is no other explanation. There is no other explanation. So what I'm telling you is this. A lot of people think, well, I'm going to wait until I get more evidence. You may not have time to get more evidence. You're walking a tightrope over a burning lake of fire, and that's what you're on. And so my advice to you is don't run out of tomorrow's tonight. My advice to you is if you have not done that and if you have not called upon the name of the Lord, you're running out of time.
That's right.
So I would do it tonight. And so, folks, again, for 6,000 years, people have been trying to tell you, to call upon the name of God, and the Lord Jesus made it very clear. He said, the heaven and earth have passed, but his words will never pass away. And guess what? Everything in our society is trying to do away with the word of God. It's not going to happen. They're going to be done away with, but not the word of God. So we are now running out of time. We're at that point where we get to every night at this time. And when we do that, what do we always do? We always say,
good night.
We'll say good night.
Good night.
God bless.
And always. And I do mean always, right?
Keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
That's the sound of me prepping the grill with Reynolds Wrap. And the sound of me not doing dishes. And the sound of me spending more time outside with my family.
Easy prep, cook, and clean. Make time with Reynolds Wrap.
I like the sound of that.